Welcome back to the Community Christian Church Plainfield Podcast. The following message was recorded live on Sunday, August 27th at Community's Plainfield location. This week, Community Pastor John Cisniewski kicks off a brand new series entitled Helping People Find Their Way Back to God. Community in Plainfield meets on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 at 24035 Riverwalk Court in Plainfield, Illinois. Starting September 17th, 2017, we will begin new service times at 8:30, 10, and 11:30 a.m. For more information about Community, visit us online at communitychristian.org. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you on a Sunday soon.
Hey, so good morning and welcome. I'm glad you guys are here. Good to see you all. Want to start with a little history. Are you ready for that? All right, we're going to go back 25 years. Raise your hand if you weren't even alive. You're a millennial. All right, so we're going to do a little history here. So it was December 3rd, 1992. I had just been married for 2 months, and something extraordinary took place for the very first time. It's a technological advancement. There was a young engineer who sent the very first text message. You millennials are like, wow, I thought that always existed. No, yeah, we didn't have that. That was the very first time. And you know, our life has never been the same, has it? Show of hands if texting is a primary way for you to communicate. Go ahead, show of hands. Yeah, now be really honest because you're in church. Show of hands if you have already been sending and receiving text messages while the band was singing. Yeah, you are all so very, very busted, but you're also in very, very good company. By the way, Tanya only told you to check in on Facebook, not send text messages, so just for the record. But you're in good company because 97% of all Americans send and receive at least one text a day. Now, maybe you wondered where all your time has been going lately. Did you know that the average American spends, are you ready for this? 23 hours every week sending and receiving text messages. That's one full day. Did you know that? It's crazy, but the good news is it's very efficient because most text messages on average are 1 minute or less. That's about how much time it takes you to read and sort of send off a response. Now, just contrast that with the voicemail from mom that you haven't even listened to yet. Yeah, so there you go. Now, along the way with texting came a brand new language. I'm surprised this isn't taught in high schools. We have Spanish, English, French, German, but we ought to have texting because it's changing all the time. Now, we all who've been around for 25 years of texting, we've learned what this stands for here, the LOL. Laugh out loud. That's right. So laugh out loud. How many of you know what FTW stands for? For the win. For the win. You got to keep up with this. Now, occasionally, you know, I'll walk into my boys' room. I have three teenagers, you know, and I'll just grab their phone with whatever they were doing, and I want to see, you know, I'm like looking at it, you know, like, I'm like, what does this mean? And, you know, I think it's something inappropriate. They're like, Dad. And like this one right here. So they use this word here, goat. I didn't know if goat was a good thing or a bad thing. Do you know what goat is? Greatest of all time. So you reserve that for like Michael Jordan, Serena Williams, or our very own Jason Ishmael. Yeah, the greatest of all time with our students, you know. So that's GOAT. Now, here's one that's really up and coming. Do you know what FR stands for? For real. Yeah. And so, for example, now, moms and dads, you're going to love this, okay, with your teens. You're going to be texting. They're going to want to stay out past 11. By the way, 11's the curfew. The police took my kids home the other day. I know this for a fact. All right, so you text them and you're like, no, 11 o'clock. And then all you need to do is put FR. And they're going to be like, oh, man, they are for real, you know? And they're going to know exactly what that means. Now, how many of you know this one? This one's very new. PLATPAJ. Plat patch. Please laugh at the pastor's awful jokes. So several times I might just throw that out this morning. Now, of course, that was all just fun to get to the abbreviation I really want to talk about today, which is HPFTWBT, capital G. And on the count of three, if you know it, say it out loud. One, two, three.
Helping people
That is the mission here at Community Christian Church. In case you didn't know it, helping people find their way back to God. You're brand new. Some of you are like, churches have mission statements? That's cool. You know, and that's what ours is. And that's what makes our heart beat fast. And we're starting this brand new series today with that title, Helping People Find Their Way Back to God. It's a 3-week series that's focused on preparing us for this big day on September 17th called, does anybody know? Show Up Sunday. Raise your hand if you consider this to be your church home. This is the day we are hoping that every single one of you will be here on Show Up Sunday, September 17th. It's also the day that we are counting and hoping and praying that all of us, myself included, will have the courage to invite our friends and family so that they can join us on this journey and in time find their way back to God. So I want to start today by exploring what this mission statement, this phrase actually means. And if you're not sure, that's entirely okay. Again, maybe you're here for the first time and this is really kind of brand new, so front row seat to exactly what we're all about, what our hearts beat fast for. Other people, though, you've been around for a while, and the question that I get asked the most is, John, I like the mission statement, but I don't understand the word back. Back to God. What do you mean by back to God? And if you thought that, here's the answer. So we have to go back to the very beginning. If you had your Bibles, you could open up to Genesis chapter 1. But I'm pretty sure we know the first three words, which are in the... So in the beginning, you see, before there was anything, there was God. Before there was an earth, galaxy, sun, moon, stars, there was God. He always was. He always is, and he always will be. And in the opening of Genesis, the first three verses, we learn a great deal about this awesome God. For example, in the first verse, we're introduced to a God who is really the grand designer, and we refer to him as the Father of all creation. So right out of the gate, he is the Father. And then in verse 2, we see him described as the Spirit. And he's hovering over the earth, and he's getting ready to shape and form all these wonderful things. And then in verse 3, what happens? God speaks, and through the power of his word, everything comes into existence. So right out of the gate, first three verses, this God is described as the Father, the Spirit, and the Word. Now, some of us might recognize the introduction to Genesis being very familiar to the introduction of yet another book in the Bible, this time not the Old Testament, but the New Testament, and it's in the Gospel of John. So real quick, there are four Gospels, and Gospel simply means the good news about Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. I know the crucifixion was awful, but the fact that he rose again is really good news for every one of us. And John, these are eyewitness accounts to all those events, but John is Jesus' closest friend and follower, and here's how John begins his Gospel. He says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so who is this Word that John is referring to? Notice it's a capital W. Too many loops there. Capital W, right? Capital W. Well, we've come to know that this is the Son, Jesus. So in the beginning was the Father, the Spirit, and the Son. And right away we see that God exists in community, that he is this relational being, that he exists in these three different expressions. And we have come theologically to refer to this as the Trinity. It's not, if that makes sense, right? All right, the Trinity. Now, we could probably spend the next 72 hours talking at length about the Trinity and still not fully grasping how all that really works. But for our purposes today, here's what I would like us to grab hold of, and this ought to be easy enough. What I want us to understand and take away is that God is relational to the core. If there's one thing we need to know about the Trinity is that God is relational to the core. Before there was anything else, there was a community of persons who loved one another, who interacted with one another, and their relationship for all eternity is kind of a dynamic dance of love. And then out of this dance of love, they begin to create, God does. And he makes the sky and the land, the sun, the moon, the stars. He makes the trees, the flowers, the animals, the birds, the fish, all of that. And then in his crowning moment of creation, in verse 26 and 7, we read, God says, let us, notice it's an us, it's It's the Trinity. Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And so you see, we were made in the image of God, which means we too are profoundly relational beings. To the core, that are. And we were created in his image, which means we're his image bearers. And image bearers, we should live in the same kind of eternal relationship that God enjoys with himself. And understand, see, we were made, all of us in this room, for this eternal community, for loving relationships with God, vertically, and also horizontally with one another. And in the beginning, that was a reality. You and I did experience this closeness, this oneness with the Trinity, with God. See, Adam and Eve, they walked and talked, and they enjoyed the peace and the joy and the love of God, like up close and personal. But it didn't last long, did it? No, it didn't take long for that beauty and the bliss of this eternal community to be shattered through that first act of human sin. When Adam and Eve ignored God's command and they made a decision based on their own personal desires, their sin separated them from God. Some people wonder, you know, well, what's the big deal about sin? Like, so what? Right? We've thought that, we've said that, it's just a little thing. But you know what sin does? Sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from one another. You do something that's offensive to somebody, guess what? They're going to be like, mm. And over time, you know, the more we do that, you know, if God's here and we're here, the more we sin, we're just separated. And over the course of time, there's this great, you know, span of being far from God. And that sin, and I think it's important to pause here and understand that when I say the word sin, I'm not focusing on a particular behavior or a list of rules, do this, don't do that sort of a thing. But rather, what's crucial, the thing to understand is that at the heart of sin is selfishness. Selfishness, because selfishness violates that eternal community of oneness that the Father, the Spirit, and the Son enjoyed in the beginning and for all time. And you know, ever since that first sin, right, and we've all experienced this selfishness. And let me just sort of throw myself under the bus. For example, the other night, I was in bed already and I was reading, and it was like 9:45, 10 o'clock is like my bedtime. I get up early, and then Amy finally comes up to bed, and she finally finishes up in the bathroom. She comes in, gets in bed, and she's like, oh, I forgot my glass of water. Now, how many of you go to bed with ice water by your nightstand? Yeah, so you can relate. And so she looks at me, and she's like, do you think you can get it? I've been in bed for 30 minutes. I'm falling asleep. I'm like, no, you get it. You know, I mean, it's your water. I got my water right here. And I didn't go get it. And you know what that is? That's selfishness. And you know that selfishness, guys, there's going to be distance between Amy and I now, isn't there? Yeah. Had I given her the water, I mean, things might have been a whole lot better, but that didn't happen. Now, the other thing is, every day I come home, we have three teenage boys. We're always doing laundry. I mean, the things just never turn off, ever. And so and when I walk in through the garage, I walk through the laundry room and then into the kitchen and the house. And every day, you know, the two lights are on those machines, and it says this load's done and this load's done, and they need to be exchanged. You know what that means? And you know what I do, because I'm selfish? You know, I just walk in like this. And then it's Amy's responsibility, because I didn't see it, you know, and if I didn't see it, and, you know, now she's got to do it. But if you really want to see selfishness in my life, just ride in the car while I'm driving. Because I'm told I'm one of the most selfish drivers. Like, I want to hog the road. I know the Plainfield police are in here. They're going to be looking for me now. You know, 59 is mine, and I am always, you know, constantly weaving in and out. And, you know, Amy says you're selfish, you're a crazy driver. But, guys, here's the thing. I like to just describe it as I drive to win. Don't you? That's the way you need to explain it. When you get pulled over, you're like, no, I was driving to win. Did I win? Yeah, you won a ticket. That's what you want. But, you know, it's selfish, and we can laugh it off, these little acts of selfishness. But what happens when selfishness hurts a family member? Or what happens when selfishness hurts a friend? Or what happens when your selfishness actually hurts your relationship with God. You see, human beings, we were created, you know, to experience this eternal community, and we did for all of two or three chapters in the creation story, but just that little ways in, right, our selfishness ruined it all. It ruined it all. And yet God refuses to give up on his original intent. So from the moment we destroyed that eternal community with the Trinity, God has been at work, working to reconcile and to restore it, and hear me on this, to bring us back to him, helping people find their way back to God. All of us have sin that separates us from God. And God has been at work to restore and to bring us back. But maybe you wonder, well, how did he do it? Well, can anybody say Jesus for the win? See that, FTW? Plat Padge? Please laugh at the pastor's awful jokes. Come on, guys, man. All right, well, hey, God knew that he needed, you know, to create a way back. And here's why. Here's why it's so important. Have you ever been on, away from home for an extended period of time? For anybody who's gone away to college, you know, I think back to my first semester at the University of Iowa, and, you know, good, bad stuff happens there, but, you know, you kind of long to come home. And if you got to go home for, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas, you know, there's this longing. You know, you get homesick, don't you? And then, you know, you get home and you're with your familiar friends again and the comforts of your own home, and maybe, you know, mom is going to make you your favorite food once again. Feels good, right? Or maybe you're on an extended business trip and you're overseas, and that's all great, and you're exposed to all this new and different stuff, and it's exciting, but, man, you know what? You do get homesick, don't you? And you long to sleep in your own bed and to use your own restroom and to just enjoy the comfort of your own home. See, friends, we were made for eternal community. We were designed to be in a relationship with God, because that's where we belong. And see, when we are far from God, when there's this sin in our life and we are far and we are separated from him, guess what? We're far from home. We're far from where we were created to be. And this homesickness shows up in all kinds of longings in our lives. You look around at the people that are far from God, all of us on any occasion for that matter, and we try to satisfy these longings in so many ways. We don't even realize that what we really need is to just simply return home to be with God. No, so instead, the homesickness, what it, you know, we just try to pursue people and possessions and power and purpose. You know, that's what we're kind of going after. We don't even recognize that what we're really in need of is to just return home to be with God. And God knew we needed a way back, and that's exactly what he set out to do. And so writing to the church in the first century, the Apostle Paul says, when anyone lives in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God. He brought us back to himself through Christ's death on the cross. And so because Jesus, you know, because of him, we can find our way back. We can be created again. And please understand, finding our way back to God isn't about being good enough or trying hard enough. No, that would be trying to recreate ourselves. Paul says, no, all of this is from God. That's what he says, all of it. God made the first creation, and guess who's going to make the new creation? Not you, not me, but God. But maybe you're wondering how. Well, it's through Jesus' death on the cross. And Paul goes on, and he says, God was bringing the world back to himself through Christ. He did not hold people's sins against them. Christ didn't have any sin, but God made him become sin for us so we can be made right with God because of what Christ has done for us. I don't know if this sort of resonates with you, but, you know, the consequences of our sin is pretty serious. And that the consequences, or the way the Bible says it, the wages of sin is death. Death. But Jesus took our place. God knew that we needed to find our way back, and so he became the way. And he was born in a manger, in a stable, and he lived among us, and he showed us what the love of God and the mercy and the joy and the peace and the forgiveness, you know, could look like. And then he went to the cross. Why? Because of our selfishness. Because of all the things that have separated us from God and from one another. And it's when we turn from our selfish ways, not when we become perfect, but when we recognize that we are so far from God, we need to turn away from that selfishness and return home. and recognize what Jesus has done, guess what? We're restored. We're reconciled. And we found our way back. And friends, it's the deal of a lifetime. And I wanted you to just hear from several people here at Community, you know, very own attenders, many of them who sit in these seats, you know, what finding their way back to God has meant for them. Here it is.
Finding my way back to God has been a journey of learning to live like Jesus, learning to treat people how Jesus treated people, learning to love as Jesus did, adjusting my own expectations and adjusting my own desires to that of the Lord's.
Finding my way back to God has meant everything for our life, especially our marriage and our children. It's just meant everything for us, and we're just very grateful.
Since finding my way back to God, I have been introduced to a wonderful community of friends that have been there to answer questions, to guide and challenge me, which has ultimately helped develop a much deeper relationship with God than one I have ever previously known. It is in this relationship that I am pushed to be a better friend and a better husband. It is a relationship that provides me with a strong sense of contentment in life. And although I'm just really getting started, I'm really excited for what the future will bring.
When I really, really got to listening to the words of Christ, it helped me in the sense that I became more transparent. I didn't have to hide behind anything. Christ is my shield and he's my rear guard. So therefore, I can be a truer person to relate to. And everything you see is real, not plastic. That's the difference that he's made in my life.
Since I found my way back to God, I feel like I'm unconditionally loved and I don't have to impress people. And still, I feel God loves me.
I really needed some direction in my life. And some friends of mine had told me about Jesus, which I knew. I had gone to church as a child, but I didn't realize that he had given me this gift, and that this gift of salvation was something that couldn't be taken away from me. It changed my whole direction in life, and the more that I learn about him, the more that I love him, and the more that I want to follow him.
Our stories are powerful. And I would encourage you this week, all throughout this series, to share your story. Simply just take your phone at any point this week, you know, do a selfie video and just say, since I found my way back to God, fill in the blank and say it. And post it on social media. And see, your friends are watching, and they know there's something about you that they want in their life. And it's because you found your way back home. And you have that peace, and you have that joy, and you have that purpose. And who knows, you know, what you share on video may be the very thing that is going to cause them to want to show up here on that Sunday. You know, put that hashtag, my way back, and invite them to, you know, show up Sunday. And if you're here today and you feel that longing for home, don't wait another minute. I hope that you'll come talk to us. You know, during our time of communion a little bit later, our prayer team is going to be there. They wear those prayer shirts. Tell them, hey, yeah, I want to find my way back to God today. Would you pray with me? And they'll just lead you through a prayer, and they will point you in the right direction. So I want to encourage you to do that. But here's one last part of our mission, and it's the HP, and that doesn't stand for Hewlett-Packard. No, it stands for helping people. See, if you are somebody who's found their way back to God, guess what? God has now entrusted that responsibility to you and to me. And so it's our responsibility now to help people find their way back to God. Paul says it like this. He says, God has entrusted us with the message that people may be brought back to him. So we are Christ's official messengers. It's as if God were making his appeal through us. Here is what Christ wants us to beg you to do. Beg you to do. Come back to God. And another translation says that we become Christ's ambassadors. And I think we can wrap our head around that word ambassador. We understand, you know, what an ambassador is. These are people who are sent to, you know, certain places, and they represent the people, you know, from their foreign land. And the ambassadors have the full power to speak for the government, and they are the image of the people that they represent back home, but they're now on foreign soil. And as Christ followers, think about where you've been sent. That job you have, you're not there just to make money. God sent you there to be his ambassador, to be his messenger. The neighborhood, you wonder, hey, I wonder why I live here. I don't really want to live here. No, actually, I bet God orchestrated that so that you could be there, because there are people there that you're going to influence. And the same thing for school or wherever God has sent you. That's our responsibility. We too are ambassadors. And that's why on September 17th, we're going to join together across all of our locations for a very special day that we call Show Up Sunday. And that's the day that we want to invite as many people as possible. And the question is, will you help people find their way back to God by inviting them? Will you do that? As you came in, hopefully in your program, you had a card with that acronym, with that abbreviation. And there's five blank spaces there. I asked the band to come out early because they're going to lead us in a song, but not for us to sing. They're going to sing it. It's better that way. Not always. But our job is to begin to think and say, God, where have you called me? Who have you put in my life that you know is far from God? You know they're longing to be in a relationship and to write their names down. And I hope you'll call to mind five, but don't limit it to five. Maybe there's more. So as the band is leading us in this song, would you take these next 3 minutes and call to mind who God has called you to be an ambassador to? Let's do that together. But everybody got their card, and hopefully you wrote down five or maybe even more names. And I want to encourage you with two things, challenge you even, pray. Would you pray for the five people that you wrote down on your card? Pray that you have an opportunity to invite them. Pray that the Holy Spirit is already working in their hearts and minds to say yes. That they would even recognize that that is what is the deal, that they are separated, that they are homesick, longing to be home with God. And if you would, just take out your smartphone. Would you go ahead and set an alarm? Occurs every day at 9:17 a.m. and 9:17 p.m. That's what our staff did earlier this week. 9:17 is September 17th. That's just sort of a reminder. And every time your alarm goes off, would you remember to pray for those five? Pray other times, but that'll just be a concrete way twice a day that we're going to do just that. And then part two of the challenge is invite them. I mean, maybe invite them out to dinner. Maybe strike up that conversation, maybe have them over to your house. Just be intentional and pray that God gives you that opportunity where they're like, I am so glad you invited me. That's exactly what we need in our life. And yes, we'll be there on Show Up Sunday. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for this challenge and this reminder, God, that you have entrusted this ministry to us, God, this mission, God, that it is our responsibility as followers of you to invite and to include. And God, may we not neglect that. May we not shy away from it, Lord. But God, I pray that your spirit that hovered over the earth would now give us this courage and the boldness and the timing to make that invitation, Lord. And help us to do that. I pray that hundreds and thousands of people will say yes, and that they will begin this journey of finding their way back to you. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray.